Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty B. Deadly.
And I'm Chad Youngblood, as always.
And yesterday you weren't Chad Youngblood. You were some other dude.
Oh, that's right. That's only on Saturdays.
Okay, you can't say as always if you're blatantly going to lie to our fans or foes, faux fans. So it is finally October. Is this our first October episode?
It is. We had some technical difficulties last week, and we couldn't get the one ready for October, so that's why we substituted that other one.
Yeah, that was a substitute. So, yeah, that's what you got. But, from what I can remember, it was a good podcast, right? It was good? What the hell was it about again?
Friday the 13th, part 5.
Friday the 13th, part 5! We recorded that, like, 20 years ago. Maybe, like, 2 months ago. So, I forgot. All I remember from that film was boobs and then like, oh, the freaking guy, the father, and it was all weird. And the Okay. It's slowly coming back to me. So this month is our favorite month. My favorite month. Is it your favorite month?
Yes.
And as many of you out there, maybe you are lovers and fans of the season. We have to fake the season around here because we live in Florida and, you know, it's hot as hell. It's like 95 degrees. So literally we're like the man from Indiana Jones when we step outside.
Yeah, like, you start to melt immediately.
We're just terrible melts. It's really bad. We don't get the fall leaves and all the amazing shit that I love because I grew up in that kind of, well, so did you, but, you know, I have like an obsession for our fall leaves and all the awesome folly stuff that, you know, the chill in the air, all that shit. For those of you that are suffering because it is snowing where you are, I sympathize, but also I am jealous at the same time.
Yeah, there was nothing like that Halloween season where it was like, I've got this amazing costume. Put on your coat, put it over the costume. But then what's the point of me going out if I can't have the costume? Put this heavy-ass coat that I got you that goes all the way down to your ankles. Put that on, please. Oh, and the hat, the gloves, a mask.
Yeah.
Please just go out in this. Just like you're going to the work on the thing outpost. And if I'd known about that at the time, it would have been great. But, you know.
Yeah. We chose to watch Annabelle Comes Home. Because we hadn't seen it in the theater and we needed to see it ASAP because we saw all the other movies, so we can't just like break the cycle. That's like, oh, I'm going to see Avengers, but I'm not going to see, you know, all or Thor's like, or all the other things. You gotta,
like, you're going to watch all the Planet of the Apes movies but one.
Exactly. Don't do that one, especially the one where they go to New York.
I'm talking about the new ones.
Oh, the new ones. I'm sorry. I was automatically thought about the old ones.
I'm talking about the new ones.
Oh, okay. Annabelle Comes Home, where Annabelle is back because he said so in the fucking trailer and in the title of the movie.
Yeah.
And the poster says, possess them all. Now, I don't know if they thought they were being cute because, you know, people really love Pokemon, but it was like, gotta catch them all kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's what they were trying to go for.
Yeah, what, I mean, Annabelle, as you may or may not know, is not really a cursed doll. She's actually a doll that just happens. She's like the toy of a demon. That's how, right? Because the demon's just carrying her along like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, she's like a conduit that lets the demon get after other people.
No, but in my mind, I see it as like, that's like the doll. That's like a demon, right?
Beelzebub is just carrying her around the park, walking around, stroking her hair, and like, what a good dolly.
Exactly. You're She's like the doll. American Girl doll, like, you know. In hell. Yes, exactly. She's Sally Hells-a-Lot. That's her name.
Okay.
Sally Spawn. Ooh, boom. Nailed it. Sally Spawn. And it's set in the 70s. Now, we kind of are going back. Technically, this is actually a sequel, not a sequel because the second film
was a prequel. Yeah, the first Annabelle appearance, of course, was in the original Conjuring. They show that scene where they take her away from the two the couple nurses that live together. They take her away from them, and then they kind of just put her in the shelf and forgot about her until they did the first Annabelle movie, which I don't know, that one that was really only to me, the only good part in that was when they were, the demon was chasing her in the elevator.
Which is actually a ripoff technique of another person. Yeah. That made, anyways, dot, dot, dot.
The second one, second Annabelle was done by, what is his name? Who did Lights Out.
That's the guy who stole the technique from. That's what I was like. Like, so he has this YouTube channel that was like super sought after. Like everyone loved the YouTube channel. And things that happened in that film, the Annabelle one, that one with the elevator, that actually happened in one of this guy's short stories that he had made like way years before that.
And then they actually got him to do the second Annabelle.
Yeah, because James Wan liked his technique. So he's like, I'm going to steal your technique, but at the same time, I'll make you rich, motherfucker. So he was like, here, I'm going to help you produce this film.
Yeah, and then so the second Annabelle is actually a prequel to Annabelle and The Conjuring because it takes place way before. And I really liked that one. There was a lot of really good creepy scenes in it. I mean, you know, with these, they're kind of more of like mainstream horror type things. They're like made to be accessible for everyone. So there's always a little bit of a, you know, glossiness to them that they're not as, you know, gritty and disturbing as other horror movies, but they're not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, to me, these are movies that you show people who aren't really into horror, but you might want to drag them into it. Yes, Tabby, I hear you crying. So you show them this to kind of like ease them in gently. I mean, you don't just throw them into, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre right away. You got to ease them into that.
Yeah, you do. And yeah, I guess it would be that this is that kind of a film. If you don't like dolls, this movie is going to be like the worst fucking movie for you because the doll, they went out of their way
to make it super creepy.
Make it the super creepy looking porcelain doll with the dead eyes and the creepy smile. Because, as you know, the original doll is actually a Raggedy Ann doll, which I find to be actually scarier than the actual, than the animal doll that they chose, but...
Well, yeah, the Raggedy Ann is scarier because it just looks so plain and ordinary, and then it's doing all this evil shit. That would be even creepier to me. But, of course, they weren't going to be able to get the rights to Raggedy Ann. Excuse me.
Yeah, so... And Raggedy Ann was not going to be like, yes, I totally want to be in this movie about a possessed demon doll. That's where I want to, you know, market my doll to be. No. Yeah. Especially not this classic.
Although they kind of may wish they had now since it's gotten so popular. Think how the sales of those dolls would have gone up.
Maybe they are up because the true fans know that it's an actual Raggedy Ann doll.
It's one of those things, one of those famous, like, missed opportunities in movies where, like, in E.T., they were like, can we use M&Ms for this? And they were like, no, we don't want to be in your stupid-ass sci-fi movie about an alien. Piss off. Hey, Reese's Pieces, can we use your candy in this? Like, yeah, sure, what do we got to lose? Nobody buys Reese's Pieces anyhow.
And let me tell you that Reese's Pieces, one of my favorite candies. I'm not an M&M fan. I'm like, blah, about the M&M. But I am about the Reese's. David S. Sandberg is the guy that That's did it. Lights Out. And his, you know, shorts that he has on the YouTubes. And Annabelle Creation and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Dungeons and Dragons also passed on E.T. as well. They were like, no, don't use our name in it. We don't want to be associated with an alien.
You know, no one wants to be associated. You know, well, I was going to talk about, like, the whole E.T. ride. Like, it's the last thing in Universal. Because people were talking about that there was, like, a smell in there. Like, a specific smell. But anyways, I digress. Okay. We'll go back to that off camera / microphone because there was no camera. Well, Annabelle comes home.
Yeah, so this one picks up, it starts off right after the events in The Conjuring, where they take it kind of recreate the scene where they take the doll home. Some creepy things happen as they're taking the doll home, and they realize, hey, this is probably needs to be locked up and locked up in a good way.
Yeah, the beginning scene is them talking to the two nurses again. So it's like we're literally in The Conjuring, the beginning of The Conjuring, and then continues into this film. So they take her from there, and some creepy shit, like Chad said, happens. And, you know, I like a period piece kind of film, like especially in horror, because if you either live during a time or intrigued by the time, you're spending probably a lot of time looking at the set design and like the toys they have in the background and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I know that there's a toy that you know, makes, it's called Feely Meely, that happens to be in the film as a cursed object, and they play it later on. And I'm very intrigued to see. I'm pretty sure it's a pretty, it has to be a real game, right? Like one would think. Because let me tell you, I don't know if any of you have ever looked into the history, like full history of like old board games, or just been to a thrift store and seen some like random game from the 50s, 60s, 70s. Those games were crazy. Do you know there is a board game about learning to drive? Like that was a board game.
Yes, Feely Meely is real. It came out in 1967.
We need to find this game, or we need to recreate it, because we really, I thought it was a...
The customer, I just looked it up on Amazon, and it's like, customers who viewed Feely Meely also viewed Annabelle Doll, Raggedy Ann.
Wow, we are not the only people looking for this fucking game.
Yeah, so it's out there.
It's out there in the world. We will probably find it. I have to now make it my mission to find Feely Meely, which is the worst name for a game for children, I feel.
Yeah. But anyhow, they take the doll back home, and it shows how they create the special case for Annabelle that's made of chapel glass, and that a priest comes and blesses every week. And then it flashes forward to a year later. In true horror movie fashion, the Warrens are going to go somewhere to do something, and they're going to leave their daughter with her budding psychic and ghost-sensing abilities alone with the babysitter for the weekend. The babysitter is also going to... has the, you know, plucky sidekick friend who's just going to pop over for a little while. And you know that this girl is going to fuck shit up. Just from the very, as soon as they tell her, now we're going to leave, don't you go in the forbidden room of fabulous objects and touch anything,
okay? And she's like, me? What? No, I would never do such a thing, Mr. and Mrs. Warren. What?
So... of course, what does she do? There's a sign on the door that says, don't touch anything. What does she do? She touches every fucking thing in the room.
She finger fucks all the objects.
She might as well have just walked around with her hands like spread out like...
Freddy style with Freddy's, the long arms.
The long arms just touching everything in the damn room. It was crazy.
Yeah, it... She's fucking trying shit on. She's freaking touching everything, opening things, letting things fall out. It's just like... oh, and I looked over at Chad at one point. I was like, I'm not going to even feel bad when this bitch dies. She needs to die just to fucking learn her lesson.
Look, let's just go to the piano. Let's just play a couple of creepy little notes on the piano. Oh, let's handle the special bracelet with a, you know, what is it that they call it? The spirit bracelet. Let's just handle that. There's no problems there. Oh, let's open the case of Annabelle and take a look at her. Even though there's a warning that says, absolutely do not fucking open this box.
It says, positively do not open this box.
Yeah, I feel like the only stronger wording they could have been was, bitch, you're going to die if you open this box.
Yes, that, and I feel like that's what they should have had. And it's their own fault that the following things happen in the film. We're not going to give away too much. I don't think we should. If you want to see it, it is a fairly new film. I would definitely say that, you know, it had some interesting types of ghosts that come up, cultural ghosts, but not done in a way that you're like gonna be like, oh, I'm so offended, you know, at all. I don't think so. But you know, if you, there's so many different people in the world, and you know, we all have our own ghost stories, you know, especially. I mean, everyone has, but when you go, you know, abroad, you know, you have your Celtic stories and, you know, so on and so forth, that there's so many ghost stories out there. So they definitely decided, you know what, we're going to have some of those ghost stories in this film. And, you know, it's okay. I don't know. I didn't hate the film, but I didn't love the film. And I don't know what I didn't, not that I didn't like about it, but I don't know what did it make it for me. I think now, because we've been in this universe with the Warrens for so long, I just don't want to see anymore. I feel like it's been too much of it.
Well, and especially with this one where it's kind of a prequel thing, you know there's not going to be real danger to the daughter. Because The Conjuring 2 and other movies happen later on.
Yeah, there's not going to be any danger to...
So you the know Warrens. The Warren daughter is going to not going to die. You're pretty sure their babysitter is not going to die because I think she was in one of the later movies, or one of the ones that earlier movies actually, but take place later on.
Yeah.
I think she was in that. So you knew there wasn't going to be any real, like, danger to the characters. The only person that might have been in danger of dying was the friend that came over.
And the other friend, too.
Yeah. Those two that might have stopped by to visit, those are the only two. And, like, you knew, like, okay, if anybody's going to die, it's going to be those two.
It was a cute movie if, like, our daughter, like you said, was, like, maybe 13, 14 years old. And it's like, you know what? Let's put on a horror movie. This is something that you, that, like, I do agree with that. Because I like the concept of, like, the girls are kind of having, like, a little party. But, like, an innocent party for, yeah. You know, the teenagers are going over there because they're kind of celebrating the little girl's birthday. One of them obviously has ulterior motives. But, you know, it's kind of like a sleepover, like, friend thing. And then the boy coming over or trying to sneak in, you know. It was cute. It was cute.
Yeah, there's a lot of these ones like this that I call them, like, your starter horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, this would be a good, like, starter horror movie for ghosts and that kind of stuff. Oh, you want to see a movie about ghosts and you're really not much, like I said, you haven't seen much before and you're, like, 12, 13.
Yeah.
This would probably scare the shit out of you because yeah. You haven't seen this kind of stuff before.
There's minimal or maybe not even at all cussing that I can really remember. I don't think there was any cussing. It's actually PG-13. The film is PG-13.
Yeah. So there's no cussing. There's no nudity.
There's no sex. There's
no real gore. There's no gore at all. It's more just jump scare kind of things.
No, there wasn't a lot of, there was no gore. I don't think there was any gore.
And like I said, it's not a bad movie. It's just kind of a, you know, when you're picking out movies, this is the vanilla of movies.
I'm sure that, can we just write that on the box and like Walmart? This is the vanilla of horror films.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not bad. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie, but it's nothing that if you're a horror fan you haven't seen before and can see coming a mile away.
I'm going to say this is the cream of horror films, not to make it perverted.
No, the cream would be like the good, you know, the cream rises to the top. It's the best.
Oh, well, I was going for more like the color cream, not so much white, but maybe had a little tint. It's tinty vanilla.
It's French vanilla.
There you go. It's a French vanilla film.
Yeah, it's not that I say. It's not that it's bad. It's just, I mean, the acting is good, the set design, I mean, it looks like a 70s house, they're watching all the 70s shows, and
if you are going to go in and think that this is going to be a Lorraine and Ed Warren battle, it's not. So they're in the beginning of the film, and they're in the ending of the film, but they are not the heart of the film.
I think this is one of those things, they probably just came in, filmed this while they were working on the next Conjuring movie, they just filmed this scene.
For sure.
And just attached it in. Or they may have filmed it from the last movie. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. That I would not have seen them having the actors come back after the, like, recently. Yeah. After the fact to do it. Especially if you're already on set and you're literally already using the house. That would be the smartest thing to do. Because you already have everything set up. I don't know if there's going to be any other Annabelle movies. I doubt it. There really doesn't need to be. Because she's at the Warrens, unless, you know, she's actually traveling right now. The
actual doll's traveling around.
United States.
Ooh, I think maybe they should take her and meet that Robert that's down here in Florida.
And become boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, they could just take him around together and see what kind of havoc they could cause.
And Laura does, like, another episode of, like, Annabelle meets Robert. And, like, she's, like, she has to pass letters to him because you have to give him the letter.
Yeah.
Right, so she's writing letters, and she's done with writing the letters, and he's like, you know, I'm going to get you. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm Annabelle. And it's like an all-out war.
Ooh, that'd be like The Ring versus The Grudge or whatever it was that they did.
Yes.
Yes, no one steals
Juno,
this idea.
June-on versus Ringu.
Yeah. Well, this, no one steal our idea. No one listening. We're calling this now. We come to us to make the next Annabelle versus Robert movie.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, we had a Freddy Krueger versus Jason. I was going to say Michael Myers versus Jason, which I think would be the most boring movie ever. Because, you know, obviously that's why it didn't happen. They don't talk.
Yeah, it would just be two silent guys duking it out.
Boom. That's our next movie. Black and white. Noir, kind of. Michael versus Jason. There you go. And it would be a silent film. We'll get the guy from The Witch to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's willing to come in and do that.
Well, he's not motherfucking making Nosferatu. He's off making some fucking movie about a fucking lighthouse, okay? Which I'm sure may or may not be a masterpiece. Nevertheless, where's my motherfucking Nosferatu movie? Okay, now the mic is getting really loud because I'm probably yelling into it. But I need to see this. I don't know if I've really delivered my passion on this subject properly.
That'd be good, because I would like to see a great, like, black and white Nosferatu movie like that again. That'd be awesome.
Yes. I also would like to see a black and white Jason versus Michael Myers movie. Because it would have to be a silent film.
You just said Jason.
Oh.
Or no, you said, did you say Freddy or Jason?
No, I said Jason versus Michael Myers.
Okay.
Not Freddy. We're done. I mean, I love Freddy. Don't get me wrong. I love you, Robert Englund.
I think Robert Englund could do one more.
He totally can do one more.
After that last Halloween, I'm surprised that they didn't call him immediately and go, look, we need you to do one more. Because with the technology now, he doesn't actually have to do that much. He just has to show up and play Freddy the janitor. And, you know, creepy Freddy janitor can be 75. No one said he had to be 30.
Yeah, but who cares? He's badly burned. He could have been 12 under there. You would have not known. Well, obviously you would have known, but his body frame. But I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter. You put all that makeup on, it's the voice that... And Freddy was never doing gymnastics. He was walking around. I think I saw him run once. Yeah. But he's not an active killer. He doesn't need to be. He waits around. He pops up in your fucking dream. You know, no one's dreaming about they're running, they're in the Olympics. He's not going to be doing, like, crazy Olympic work, even though I would like to see an interpretive dance by Mr. Cougar. That would be actually really wonderful.
But
with the green and red, like, strings that they have to, like, run around. Yeah. Anyways. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. But thank you so much for coming on this journey with us, the journey of our horror podcast, where we go and talk about a whole bunch of crazy shit and some random film that we just watched, whether it be new or old or anything in between.
We mostly go for the older ones, but every now and then we like to throw a new one in, especially if we got a chance to get out and see one in the theaters.
Yeah, which is mostly why we do most old movies, because it's hard for us to get out, because we are now, you know,
shackled.
We're shackled. Our daughter runs our life at the moment. So that's what we're doing. And now that we have mentioned our daughter, I want to say out to her one day when she's listening to this podcast, happy birthday. It is your birthday today.
It is not her actual birthday. It is her, like...
It's her year and a half birthday, which is a milestone for me. You're 6 months away from being two. And not to get all mushy, but... Happy birthday / almost Halloween. It's our month. So guys, thank you so much and stay tuned to the horror.
And now folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.